Let's go to the Emerald Isle Immigration Center, friends, and to Director Siobhan. And Siobhan Dennehy, you're very welcome indeed to the program.
Ian, thank you very much for having me.
And I know that this is it's great, but the executive producer says, don't drag it out because they're going to the Rockaway Festival.
We are indeed. We're heading down hopefully this afternoon and a little bit to join the team from Emerald Isle who are setting up a table at the festival. And it's something that we're very, very happy to do, an occasion to support a wonderful two-day festival headed up by AOH Queen's County President John Manning. And he gives us the opportunity to give out a little bit of information about Emerald Isle, talk to people directly, and hopefully do a little bit of promotion about the event that's happening next Wednesday, also in conjunction with the AOH, and that's the Celtic Cruise.
The Celtic Cruise, again, without a doubt, is the event of the year. It is, as I mentioned, the introduction to the program. This is the one that gets a lot of people, you know, out to not only support the Emerald Isle Immigration Center, but it's a fantastic evening of music and fun and entertainment and food and the lot. You know, it sells out every year, and yet somehow those who don't buy their tickets in advance, and actually for $100 you wouldn't get anything like that, like an evening of entertainment, and forget about the forget about the cruising aspect of it, which is obviously great, and no better place to see New York, New Jersey. But it is, at the last minute, it has been known that those who just showed up barely made it. And in a couple of instances, you know, no more room on the boat.
Yes.
Where are you at this point now? Because we're talking about this coming Wednesday.
Yep, we're still selling tickets. We're hopeful, as we always are, that the number will continue to grow. We have room, probably at this stage, we have room to sell at least 100 more tickets, and that can be done by logging in to CelticCharity.com, and that is the website that has been created by our partners on this endeavor, and an incredible word to the members of the AOH Division 7 of New York County, because they have been doing this wonderful philanthropic contribution back into nonprofits in New York that we've been very lucky to be part of the event for the past 5 years. But prior to that, the division held this event to support Project Children and everything that Project Children was doing for more than 20 years. And I suppose, Adrian, a link between the two, and as I looked at the date today, would be that our former treasurer, Frank Carvel, and this is today's his anniversary, was also Emerald Isle's treasurer, was also a member of this division. So when I looked at the days and remembered that Frank, who lost his life in Iraq, is the kind of bridge between the two organizations, it does show the incredible ties there are in the community. We're working together, obviously, to raise money for what we feel is a good cause. It's supporting all the work of Emerald Isle, and we're doing that with the fantastic effort of the division, the sponsors, the musicians. If I look at the list of musicians who all donate their time and come back year after year for free, and they support so many other causes, it's Celtic Cross, it's the Cunningham Brothers, the Shamak Band, and then a very special blend, Celtic Blend, a musical session that have banded together under the organization of Eddie Bowles. So with that, we're absolutely looking forward to a wonderful, wonderful evening next Wednesday.
Siobhan, want to ask you about the new acquisition, which many of my listeners in particular may not know about. Emmerdale Immigration Center in Woodlawn in the Bronx. Fill us in.
Absolutely. And a shout out, we have a team there today as well. There's a street fair in Woodlawn. Our office is has operated in Woodlawn originally since 1993, providing services to the community there under our immigration portfolio. We moved on to Katona Avenue in 2007, and throughout the year last year, an opportunity arose where we were allowed to, as it were, enter into a negotiation, and we eventually bought the building where our office is located in the Bronx at 4275 Katona Avenue, which has been an amazing thought. That who would think that with your help, Adrian, and the help of so many in the community, that the Immigration Center would actually be there for the future as a beacon, as a solid anchor in the community, and that it's something that we will own. The first few weeks of ownership, I will say, have been a little daunting, because we discovered that we had to do some emergency renovations to ensure that everything that we're doing there is kept up to snuff. Renovations have continued. We're hopeful that we're nearing the end right now and expect to be back in the building in the next week to 10 days. In the meantime, however, we've been supported by our community of our board members, who have given us operating space, and that's the law offices of Lisa Johnston and our good friend Joe Carty. We're back to the old days. We're providing services from the Rambling House Party Room, and that has been an incredible asset to us. So big shout-out to Joe there to thank him. And we can't wait to get back in and to continue doing what we do best, and that's helping people whatever way we can.
Without belaboring the point, there was a commitment from the Irish government, and then there was an election, and it might be a timely reminder for the coalition government in Ireland to know that indeed there was that commitment to pitch in was very strong. Fortunately, we have, of course, Minister Flanagan, who is back as Minister for Foreign Affairs. So under items committed to, let's very gently remind the Irish government that, yes, they made a commitment, and one which is very significant, though the amount is now huge, but one that's very significant in getting this building and acquisition, back on track. So hopefully that will work as well.
Terrific point, Adrian. We couldn't do what we do as an organization without the support of the Irish government. And that has grown with many people's help, reminding them what we do and certainly helping tell the story for the center. It wouldn't happen without the growth in the support that we've gotten for the Irish government. And I think you're absolutely right. They're committed to helping us in the future bring down what we owe in terms of a mortgage on that building. And we are very, very grateful to them that they see that they are a partner with us in that. And also what it does is when we are saying to other funders here in the city, at the state level, at the federal level, the Irish government is supporting us in our efforts across Absolutely. The city for immigrants. It helps us bring in other funders to serve the clients who are from all over the world. And as you well know, we're serving nationalities that at the moment are originally from 74 different countries. So that's an incredible achievement. And it wouldn't have happened without everybody pitching in, I have to say it.
Now, just if you would tell us, we know that that every aspect of immigration is, in fact, and traditionally has been serviced by the Emmerdale Immigration Center. Tell us about the Meals on Wheels, Siobhan.
Yep. Well, it was kind of an added-on program that we discovered that we were able to add value when a smaller program which had been running in the Bronx, Woodlawn, Woodlean, Yonkers area, had finished. The person who'd been running it for years retired, and we were able to step in and make a proposal to see that it continued, and it has continued with the community's help, with the help of the volunteers that run the program. It wouldn't happen without it. In the early days, we had some help from the American Ireland Fund, and then currently Senator Jeff Klein, who's the state senator for the district in the area, he has stepped in to allow us to continue that program, which he's also confirmed will continue for next year, which is terrific news. And we're helping 30 to 40 individuals a day in the area in Woodlawn receive a meal, receive a knock on the door, the checks on them, does a wellness check, are they okay? And if, you know, for whatever reason the weather has decided not to be so kind, we can make sure that everybody has whatever supplies and groceries they need, be it summer or winter. We're like the postmen. Those volunteers are on their doorstep every single day.
That's obviously very laudable and necessary. And we take it for granted pretty much in the same way that the J-1 visa students have indeed played a significant role, mostly, supposedly anyway, for themselves in terms of coming to the United States in the summer on a legal visa actually making money here in jobs that many that cover a lot of people here. We're always sensitive to point out that we don't particularly want or need a lot of people to come into the United States during the summer, in particular when there are a lot of our own students who, in fact, can fill those jobs. However, the number is not that significant when you consider that this is the United States. And with some rare exceptions, the behavior of most students coming from Ireland is more than acceptable, and they're quite willing to work very hard. Now, there's a wrinkle in what has been a great program for this year, because the J-1 students, those are the temporary work visa students coming from Ireland, many of them may not have sunk in, but the rules have changed.
The rules did change quite significantly in the past year, Adrian, and what it means now is in an effort to get the program running with more, I guess, administration, the additional requirement for any student, and you have to be a student, is that you need to have had a job offer approved by your sponsoring agency before you can get the visa. So most of the work in getting your job approved has to happen before you even get here. So we've been facilitating that wrinkle and that change as best we can. We've been helping students, we've helping the sponsoring agencies, and we're a huge supporter of this program because it is a chance for people to do exactly what you say, to come in legally, work for the summer, gain a cultural experience, which is the whole backdrop of the program, and go home at the end of the program. So we're working whatever way we can to ensure its success, along with all of the partner organizations, all the centers in the U.S. You know, we work as a coalition together, and we're working together with our colleagues, certainly in New York at the Ashling Center and the New York Irish Center, and then all across the country, all of the major cities you would think of have an Irish Center there that are assisting in this regard. And also there's a program that's set up in Ocean City in Maryland that helps. They only run a summer program to help J-1 students who go down and help the tourist industry there. And I already know there's at least a couple of hundred J-1s on the ground already. So I guess my ask would be that if people know or are interested in having a J-1, either for two reasons, one is they can offer a job, but more importantly, in New York specifically, if there's any need on accommodation, give the center a call or check out our Facebook page. Everything has gone viral with us in terms of social media. We're able to do a lot more in terms of promoting accommodation leads through our Facebook page at Emerald Isle. So come find the Facebook page, like it, and if you have any ideas or suggestions for us on accommodation for these students, as you can imagine, with rental increases all over the city, it's really, really tough to find a summer place to stay, and that would be my biggest appeal to people, as it is almost every year. But if you have any ideas, thoughts, suggestions, give us a call or give us a post or a like
right.
on Facebook.
You know, we should point out that these students who are coming over are not looking for, you know, a complimentary free accommodation. They're so that should not be a deterrent. This is, you know, those who they are willing to, you know, to pay for their accommodation. So that's also something. Getting a deal is always welcome, but at this stage, it's at crisis point. Now, lastly, want to ask you about what ICE is threatening. You know, the great homeland security, all of which we think is terrific and so forth, but it is becoming a huge problem for many people, not just the undocumented, but for a lot of people who actually have a green card and follow through for one reason or another. As you know, on the Emerald Isle, since there is a great effort to get people with green cards to you know, follow through and get American citizenship. But this ICE seems to come up with something new every couple of months. Maybe it's some of it is okay, but what are they threatening right now, and how real is this threat?
Well, I would say that this particular administration has been very, very tough on many, many aspects of enforcement. They have deported the largest number of individuals, very few to Ireland, but as a whole to other countries that have been apprehended and processed. They have been deported in quite large numbers. And in light of the focus on the border and how porous the southern border, obviously, in particular, has been, there have been press releases and information coming out to say that they could be some targeting of Central American countries from ICE in the month of June. And so for everybody's benefit, we've kind of highlighted that as an issue for anybody who may be concerned to think about, to call us if they have questions about what happens if they are, for whatever reason, caught up in an enforcement action by ICE. Know your rights. We've posted information on our website at www.eiic.org and sign up for our newsletter, because you need to be informed if by chance you are caught up in anything like that. And that's part of our role, to educate the community.
Forewarned, forearmed, and that's good. And believe me, the likelihood of getting caught up, as you say, even though the numbers are very small, from once you are in a sweep and find yourself in a deportation sweep, you need to know what to do. And you need that information beforehand. No point in Googling it, you know, when the guards come in. That's not how it works. So, again, your website, not only for Celtic, the Celtic crews, but, you know, for information on a lot of stuff that people not only need to know themselves, but friends and relatives and those who are aware of what is happening can pass that on to those who may be affected. There are a lot of positive, mostly positive aspects of those who are here and those who would be documented if they had had a chance. But friends and relatives and those who traditionally watch out for those who come from home would benefit by logging on to your website. So if you give us that website one more time.
Absolutely, Adrian. So it's www.eiic.org.
And the listeners to our program, as we know from our contacts and email, have a fairly hefty number have been affected greatly by the Verizon strike, which, of course, for this Rockaway Festival and the Woodlawn Street Festival, this is the first weekend they're not on strike. So, again, we welcome them back. And there's that hits pretty close to home in the Dennehy household. So it's great news. And, again, there's no point in rehashing what should or could have happened, but it's great news that the Verizon strike has been settled. And again, to those in our own listenership, not necessarily Irish, but we're happy about it, and that's been put now to rest again for another while. So, okay, best to Dan Dennehy, who indeed, in his many roles in the Irish community, has also been very involved in the settling of the Verizon strike as well. So we're happy about that. And I know you're